The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this place where we can come and be accepted wherever we are, whatever we've done, and where we're going, Lord God. Lord, let us shake off the events of the week, the events of today. Let us concentrate right now on what you're doing in us, what you're doing through us, and what you want to do after we get done with right now, Lord God. Lord, show us how to live in the now, right now, Lord God. Show us how to use the tools that you've given us. Show us how to speak encouragement into others' lives. Show us how to be that blessing. And Lord God, let us show that good news that you have shown to us, that we are saved through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's blood on that cross. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, I brought a friend tonight. He's a little malnourished. We can call him Bones. We can call him Mr. Bone Jangles. We can call him Slim. Whatever we want to call him. I got this from a friend of mine, and I've been praying. I've been asked to speak at the church for some time, and I think every person that has spoke, pastor especially, our friends, Pastor Dave and Tracy Smith from Nuclear First Baptist, you have something in mind, and it gets changed. Then you have that change, and something else happens. So I'm going to preach on Ezekiel 37. So you can turn with your Bibles there to Ezekiel 37, please. And it's going to be the Valley of Dry Bones. So I brought a little prop. We'll use him later. And this is from a friend of mine. He's a coroner in Mesa County. And I got to talking to him, and I said, hey, where can I get a skeleton at? I don't need the big six-foot one. I don't have a vehicle big enough to bring it here. He goes, I've got a little three-foot one. Do you want to use it? I said, I would love to. Thank you, Victor. So we brought him tonight, and we'll talk about him later. And then later we'll have Chan and Bobby do a little quiz on bones of the body. So we'll be good to go. How many people thought when I brought this up, you thought, oh no, Halloween message, really? Oh, thank you for your honesty, Dave. Yep. Chris, Halloween message. Oh gosh. Spiritual warfare. Oh yeah, here we go. So no, it's not a Halloween message. Kind of gave it away by talking about the Valley of Dry Bones. How many bones in the human body? How many? 206? Who said that? Whoa, the HVAC guy. Going to medical classes. 206. 206 bones in the human body. The human skeleton is the internal framework of the body. It is composed of 270 bones at birth. This total decreases to 206 by adulthood after some bones have fused together. The bone mass in the skeleton reaches maximum density around age 30. Whew, I'm 17 years over that, so I'm downhill slide now. Who knew 270 bones at birth? Anybody knew that? Fused together. Oh, Pastor David knew that. Wow. I don't know which ones are fused. Don't ask me which ones are fused. I didn't go that far. There we go. Dave's pointing to his head, so his brain's fused to the inside of his skull. So, I've been to numerous autopsies as my time in law enforcement. I've been in law enforcement almost 20 years, and our human body is absolutely wonderfully created. The first time I went to an autopsy, I was blown away at how everything fits together and how we have systems inside of systems, and I was really worried about passing out. But I didn't. I was really worried about that. But it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating how our body works. Ezekiel was a Jewish priest who was captured and taken to Babylon a few years after Daniel. God chose him to prophesy about all the things that were happening back in Jerusalem. After Jerusalem was destroyed, Ezekiel began prophesying about the hope that God would restore the Jews to their land someday. God showed Ezekiel how he could bring a bunch of old dry bones to life, in the same way God could bring his people back to life if they would turn to him. Once again, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel. In keeping with Pastor Dave's Bible directions, go to Daniel, hang a left. And there it is. Starting in verse 1, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Let's stop right there and ponder this situation for a minute. God and his servant Ezekiel, all alone, together gazing at this valley very full of dry bones. With that being said, I think that reveals a glorious promise that we will never face anything alone. We live in a valley, right? We have the Mesa, the Uncompahgre, the Book Cliffs, so we live in a valley. I can tell you that things that happen at nighttime are not all peaches in the Bain family and perfect at Graff Dairy with ice cream and everything else. Our valley has dry bones. Our valley needs lots and lots of Ezekiels that listen to God when we're commanded to do something. Pastor Dave's talked a lot about being commanded. We don't like to be told, do we? We don't like to be told to do things. Go here, go there. Trust me, if you guys don't think people like to be told things, come along with me one night. You tell somebody to do something, they don't like to do those things. So we taser them. No, I'm just joking. The gift of electricity, it keeps on giving for 5 seconds. Yes, I was tased, so I could testify in court what it felt like to be tased. 5 seconds of extreme pain that you have a whole lot of control over your body at that time. Had to be pepper sprayed, too. I would choose a tasing over pepper spray. I've never been shot. I wear a bulletproof vest, but I've never been shot. I've never been hit with my stick, but I know it's effective. So once again, we live in a valley that has lots of dry bones. From the words of Moses, Deuteronomy 31, 3 through 6, and by the way, Moses was 120 years old at this point in Deuteronomy. It is the Lord your God. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. The Lord will do to them just as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land. When he destroyed them, the Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to the commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Repeat that with me. Our God will never leave us or forsake us. Our God will never leave us or forsake us. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. You guys memorize a Bible verse. Ezekiel 37, verse 2. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw great bones, great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. This scripture really fascinated me because it says Ezekiel saw a great many bones on the floor. Now, were these bones in the shape of a skeleton, just like this? Or were they scattered about? Did they have the clavicle? Were all the clavicles together under C? Was it like alphabetized? Did you have the A, B, C's? Were they just all in boxes? So did you have the clavicle, the collarbone? Did you have the ribs? All the rib cages were in a cage together? The humerus, the ulna, the radius, pelvic bone, the skull, femur, tibia, fibula. Were they all together? I don't think so. It says great many bones. So they were all scattered about. So looking across that valley, what did it look like? Maybe a cemetery that was washed up? Cemetery where all the bodies came up, no caskets, no coffins. All the bones were just lying about. Verse 3, he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. While I was studying this text, I asked myself, why would God ask this tricky question to Ezekiel? Has anybody heard a tricky question from God? He knows everything, right? So if he asks us a question, he's going to know the answer. But he chose to ask this question to Ezekiel. Can these bones live? Here's the answer that I got from the Holy Spirit. God cares about what we think, because he knows we can only release his power on earth to the degree that we are aligned with his perspective. God's about to rock Ezekiel's perspective on the hopeless situation of Israel by showing him that nothing is impossible. Repeat with me, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And once again, Ezekiel's perspective is going to be changed on the hopeless situation of Israel by showing him that nothing is impossible if he partners with heavenly perspective and power. Do we understand the power we have from heaven? The power we have from Jesus? I have not seen anyone be raised from the dead. David Platt talks about it in his book. Other people talk about it. Other people talk about tumors falling off. Who has seen a physical manifestation delivered? Or who has seen a physical ailment healed with prayer? Praise God. Praise God. We don't see it every day. So some people say it doesn't happen. I have seen it through deliverance. We have seen demons cast out. We have seen spines straightened. We have seen miracles right in front of us. Verse 4, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So Ezekiel is looking over these valley of bones, and God asked him to talk to these bones. What's Ezekiel thinking? Lord, you want me to do what? You want me to talk to these bones? What are they going to do? As the story goes on. Verse 5, this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. Now, this is not the first time that God breathed life into someone, is it? Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, which is the story of Adam. Verse 6. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. There's that C word again. I was commanded to do that. So Ezekiel once again prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together bone to bone. And I was trying to sit and think, what would that look like? What would it sound like? I'm not a hunter, so I haven't seen the antlers when people take them and scratch them together, put them together to make that sound. Maybe that's to call, somebody can help me out here, call them in, attract them, hunt, whatever. But I can't imagine what bones to bones would sound like with all of these bones in this valley. It would probably be overpowering. And Ezekiel would be thinking, oh my gosh, Lord, what are you doing through me? I'm just a man. I'm just a man speaking to these bones. Verse 8, I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Lifeless. Verse 9, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live again. Psalm 104, verses 29 to 30. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. I've read the Bible before, but when you have to sit down and prepare for something, it's all new. and the verses mesh together, and the whole thing comes into view. It's amazing. I have learned so much preparing for this. Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me. Once again, there's commanded. That's an action, right? ED, action verb, as he commanded me. Ezekiel is doing something. He has to do something to get this to happen. He's not just sitting there, right? It's kind of like, it would be kind of cool if you'd go to the gym, get all buffed up, lose a bunch of weight by just sitting on the weight bench, right? Just sitting there. That'd be kind of cool. Hey, this is fun, right? Does it work that way? Absolutely not. If not, Gold's Gym would be the most popular place in the world. Crossroads. Everybody doing a weight bench. Doesn't work that way. We have to do that action. We have to do physically do that action to gain an end result. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. I don't know how many a vast army is. I was in the military for 7 years. But when we had a vast company of sailors or a vast company of Marines, that's a lot of people. That is a lot of people that God brought back to life through Ezekiel's words. Through his words and through him prophesying over them, he brought them back to life. Our words truly are more powerful than we think, especially when they're spoken in agreement with God's will. There are numerous examples sprinkled throughout Scripture. Mark 11, 22 to 24. And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." We went through a very tough financial time in our marriage and in our life. A friend of ours told us to repeat this scripture and anoint our checkbook for a month. I was like, okay, that's going to be a lot of oil in the checkbook. But we did it. We spoke it out. We prayed over our checkbook. We prayed over our finances. And at the end of the month, we made it. I don't know how, because it was nothing that we were being obedient by praying, but we didn't do anything different. We were pretty thin already as it was. But God answered our prayers and heard our cries. And we did it in faith. We did it in faith. And it was miraculous. A miracle happened right in front of us. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Matthew 21:22, whatever you ask for in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And last, 2 Corinthians 4:13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak. There are many others that speak about the power of our words. Do not underestimate the power of our words that come out of our mouth. How many people have been dead tired, working out, chasing kids to sporting events, motorcycle ride, a long day at work, whatever, and all you want to do is go home and go to bed? All you want to do. You're physically exhausted. What's the only muscle that keeps wanting to work? Our mouth. Can our mouth get tired? Now husbands will probably say, "Is your mouth getting tired, dear? Because I love the sound of your voice." Our mouths don't get tired. They do not get tired. Everything else in our whole body can be exhausted, but our mouths just do not get tired. Verse 11. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up, Our hope is gone, and we are cut off. Psalm 88:5, it goes along with that. Forsaken among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and they are cut off from your hand. The people of Israel were stuck in Babylon. They were like a field, a cemetery of bones, dry, dusty, sun-bleached, and dead still. They're without breath, without health, without help, and without hope. It appeared they were at the dead end. But who steps in? God. God, God, God. How many times does God step into our life when we've stumbled, we've backslid, when we have not exemplified Christ? God keeps rescuing, doesn't he? We repent, turn 180 degrees, put our hands back up and go, oh Lord, please come save us. Please help us. He's always here. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Isaiah 26:19, your dead will live. Their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. Verse 13 back in Ezekiel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. And finally, verse 14. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. I'm so glad the Lord has spoken in my life, and the Lord has taken care of things in my life, and not on my own power, not in my own flesh. I'm no good on my own. I can't do it on my own. I cry out to God, and he hears my cry. Isaiah 32:15. Until the Spirit is poured out upon us from high, and the wilderness becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field is considered as a forest. Ezekiel 11:19. And I will give them one heart, put a new spirit within them, and I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. God, the eternal heart surgeon. Before I was saved, I knew how to act the part. I knew how to raise my hands at church. I knew how to quote scripture. I didn't have a heart of flesh. I didn't teach my family what I was supposed to be doing. I was not setting the example that I was supposed to be setting as the head of my household. If I would have died prior to age 40, I would have been gone to hell. Thank God I found Jesus at age 40. Because without him and finding him and having that relationship with him, I would have been nothing. Absolutely nothing. Ezekiel 39:29. I will not hide my face from them any longer, for I have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Lord God. Joel 2:28. It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Once again, I chose Ezekiel 37 because it describes the resurrection and the restoration of my own life. And that's all due to me. Not because of what my parents did. Not because of what my friends did. I was the one accountable for my actions in my life. But God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, put my bones back together, breathed life, spiritual life, back into me. There's a new song by Lauren Daigle. And I don't know if you guys know who Lauren Daigle is. Very gifted artist that's on K-Love and Air One. She has a new song called Come Alive, Dry Bones. I just want to read you a few lyrics here. Through the eyes of men, it seems, there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, one by one, the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid as we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive. God of endless mercy, God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward son, and by your spirit breathe upon them. Show the world that you alone can save. You alone can save. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive. How many of us have been those dry bones? How many of us know of dry bones? And I'm talking to myself also. How many times do we miss the opportunity to step in and tell those bones to come alive? How many opportunities have we missed? Once again, talking to myself. How many of us have felt discouraged, downtrodden, and even defeated? There is the breath of God. For when you're without power, for when you're weak, when you've run out of options, when you're dead, there is still the breath of God. Breathe deep and take in the creator of the universe and lover of everything about you. I leave you with the words of C.S. Lewis. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Thank God I was able to go back, start from where I was at, so I can change the ending. Because we can't go backwards, right? Paul said in Philippians, forgetting about what is in the past, yearning forward, striving forward to what is ahead. So if you have a past, let it lie. Change where you're at so you can change that ending. Let us pray, guys. Lord God, I thank you for new beginnings. I thank you for the restoration and the resurrection in my life. Lord, I thank you for sending your son to die for us because we are not worthy of your son to die for us, Lord God. But you sent him to the cross. You knew what was going to happen. Jesus was obedient in that. Lord God, I thank you for the time we're at right here and right now. Let us not sidestep. Let us not go around. Let us seek your face. Let us seek your will in everything we do. Give us that word that our family needs to hear, that our friends need to hear, that our neighbors need to hear, that our coworkers need to hear. Lord God, like it says in Deuteronomy, let us be strong and courageous. Because, Lord, we know that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. We thank you for the promises that you've given to us. Lord God, let us not just read them. Let us live those promises. Let us step out in faith as we leave this building this week, tonight, next week, whenever, Lord God. Go out and tell someone about Jesus. Go out and tell someone what God has done in your life. It says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Lord God, I thank you for every person sitting in this room right now. I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for their dedication to be here on a Saturday night. Lord God, as we sing this next song, let us draw close to you and you will draw close to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflifechurch.com.